Hey, this is Bob Stelton from the Bob Gross and Tom Show. I want to thank you for listening to the John Clayton Show. And you know what would be great is if you checked out the Bob Gross and Tom Show every day from noon to 3. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live at 710sports.com. On demand everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app. Now, John Clayton.
Let the fun begin. Draft coming up starting at 5. And, of course, we're going to be over there with the Draft Day Special. We'll be online here making sure that we'll keep you totally up to date on everything going on. And, of course, it's going to be an absolute fun day. And, of course, you already have lots of drama going on, lots of gamesmanship going on. Now a lot of questions about the first pick in the draft, but let's not waste any time. Let's get into the five biggest stories of the day, and the top five is brought to you by Eastside Funding.
Number one.
One person called me last night who said, these are the words he said to me, I'm virtually 100% certain that the Cleveland Browns are going to take Baker Mayfield. Now, I'm not, okay? I don't know this, but I'm just telling you what other people are telling me.
This is the gamesmanship that happens all before the draft, and certainly it does help ratings. I was Adam Schefter talking about the call that he got, and it was funny. I was listening to Tony Grossi. Tony Grossi works at the ESPN station in Cleveland, covered the team for 2.5, 3 decades, and he talked to 3 different people in the organization, and he got 3 different votes. One was for Josh Allen, one was for Baker Mayfield, and one was for Sam Rosen. I'm still not changing my thoughts. I know that Mel Kiper changed his, and now has put Baker Mayfield up top. Daniel Jeremiah is putting Baker Mayfield up top. Steve Weiss from the NFL Network, he was in Cleveland, and he's starting to say, I'm hearing a lot of stuff about Baker Mayfield. But again, this is the drama of the draft, and a lot of this can be done by the team, somebody talking to the team and all that stuff. And naturally, the thought would be kind of shaking things up and seeing if there's a way that maybe you can get a trade going and somebody trade up to number one. And of course, I can't imagine the Jets, who gave up 3 number 2 picks just to be in a position at number 3 to take Baker Mayfield, to come back and say, oh, I'm going to give you more just to move up to number 1, and then you put the, that number 3, because then what ends up happening is that Sam Darnold then would go number 2 to the New York Giants as opposed to Barkley, and now you can see that Cleveland would be sitting there at number 3 and number 4, and then what they would be doing is they would take Josh Allen and then also take Barkley. But in the end, I still think it's going to be Sam Darnold, but that's going to be the drama, and we'll find out at about 5 o'clock today. Of course, a lot of things riding on the Seahawks, sitting there at 18. Still think the possibility of a trade is two trade downs, picking up some third-round picks and maybe a little bit more. Those would be in the works. And then what about Earl Thomas? Earl Thomas, I think as each minute passes, the odds of a trade start to slip, and that's certainly because, again, once you get into the draft, it's very rare that you get a top player like an Earl Thomas traded. It does happen. And of course, what the strategy would be for Dallas is to take their pick in the first round at 19 and then see if they can entice something that would appeal to John Snyder in the second round and more. But again, would that work? Would that not work? Gamesmanship. That's going to be the fun of what we're going to be covering all day, all the next 3 days. Stay with us, because again, we are going to have some fun. It's the NFL draft. It doesn't get any better than that.
Number 2.
Orion will rejoin the club, and that is it's something we've been looking forward to. He swung the bat well while he was in Arkansas, and again throughout the offseason and into the early season, our intent was for Ryan to be the first baseman on this club, and eventually that's going to take hold. His timing seems back on track. Probably not a great series to get thrown in against the kind of pitching we're going to face here with Cleveland these next 4 days, but no time like the present.
We are taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. And so another roster move, and it looks like for the first time this year, everybody's going to be on board. Now, again, we don't know if it's going to be today or tomorrow, but Ryan Healy had a rehab assignment in Double A Arkansas on April 20th after spraining that ankle. That was the ankle sprain. And so now in 4 games with the Travelers, he's hit .333, 3 runs. He's scored 1 home run, 6 RBIs, and 3 walks. And it looks like he's ready to join the roster. Could be as early as today. Daniel Vogelbach was now optioned to Tacoma, hit a little bit of a skid in his hitting at 204. And so with 7 walks in 19 games, you know, that's okay. Only he had 2 home runs, but still, now he's going to get more time right now to get out there with the Tacoma Rainiers. And then, of course, Mora, can the injury stuff stop? I mean, so all of a sudden, the controversy was you keep Ichiro and you send down Guillermo Heredia, who's batting in the 300s. All right, so now what happens? He gets hit on the knuckle with a pitch on a foul ball. It was a foul pitch, and all of a sudden, his wrist is all messed up. He's going to miss a couple games. Another injury, and according to Pat Lisach, the manager, the pitch hit him on the knuckle. Nothing broken, but he's going to miss some time. Another injury for the Mariners in a place where really you wonder, should he be?
Yeah, John, I mean, I know they're still getting some, but I think it's a far cry from last year. It's a lot better. But
well,
hopefully they can get him back up
early. And I mean, and so many of these injuries, of course, not this one, are non-baseball related. I mean, when you have Nelson Cruz hurting his ankles, taking off a step of a dugout after a home run, or you're having somebody like, you're lifting and all of a sudden something goes bad there with an ankle. You know, these things are just crazy.
Yeah, it's a weird one, but they definitely did not anticipate keeping him down there, so hopefully he'll be good to go.
Yeah, but of course, now you wonder, with that hand being affected, the wrist, the knuckle, and all that stuff, is that going to take away? You know, it's been pretty good hitting for him to start off the season, so Heredia going to miss a couple days after being sent down on Sunday. That was roster move for Erasmo Ramirez, and so he gets the wrist hurt, the knuckle hurt, and of course, another injury for the Mariners that's hurt, but again, nothing too serious. And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business.
Number 3.
They jumped on him quickly. They were looking for first pitch fastballs, and they got it, you know, the first 2 hitters of the ball game. But he made a good adjustment. He got a really good curveball going, which was really the key for him today. And then, settled in. I thought the 4th and the 5th inning were good. The 6th inning was fine as well. I just thought where we were at pitch count-wise and where they were headed up on the lineup, you know, a chance to go to our bullpen, which really has been the MVP here the last couple games. Our bullpen's been outstanding.
So Felix gave a quality start. He went 6 innings, gave up 3 runs, 7 hits, struck out 6, and walked 2 in the Mariners' 4-3 victory over the White Sox. And the most important thing for the Mariners is that they win the series. So that puts them at, 13-10? Not too bad. And, of course, Nelson Cruz went 3-for-5. Tying hits on singles. Mike Cennino really back strong, 2-for-4, had a home run in the 6th inning. So that's good. And, of course, he's so good behind the plate. That helped out. And then Edwin Diaz has just been unbelievable. 10 saves, 10 opportunities, 0.73 ERA, 23 strikeouts. And so the Mariners now head for a 4-game series against the Cleveland Indians. Starts today at 3:10 with James Paxton going against Mike Clevinger. So the Mariners continue on the road. Big series coming up against Cleveland.
Number 4.
Every year the Jaguars play one of their home games in Wembley Stadium in London, and that home is going to have a different meaning if owner Shad Khan successfully purchases Wembley Stadium. He's made an offer, and by all appearances, he will end up becoming the new owner of Wembley Stadium. Now, he's committed to keeping the Jaguars in Jacksonville, and who knows what ultimately happens by way of possibly a split schedule, maybe 2 or 3 home games per year in London. You can't rule anything out at this point.
And that's Mike Florio talking about a deal that may come down with Shad Khan of the Jacksonville Jaguars buying into Wembley Stadium. And, of course, I know that the mayor of Jacksonville came out and seemed to support the move, because what he ended up saying was that, oh, no, this is good for Jacksonville because it enhances the commitment of Khan in Jacksonville. But still, you've got to wonder. The league wants something moved to London, whether it's wouldn't be an expansion team, but they'd love to have a team move to London. I mean, the team that obviously is the closest, the one that has a relationship and is trying to build a brand there, and that would be the Jaguars. But of course, you know, the Jaguars may have to eventually lose more home dates and all these different things. Lots of uncertainty there created, but again, right now they seem to be happy about things with everything in Jacksonville. And I know that Shad Khan likes the situation in Jacksonville, but now he's expanding more to London. Stay tuned.
number five.
His whole point was that there's no excuse. He was wrong. He realizes the times that we're living in. It's incredibly unfortunate that he made that kind of mistake, but he said it is a mistake. People who know him know what he's made of, people that he plays with in the locker room. You know, he's got a lot of friends that he loves and loves him back, and they know that this isn't indicative of his character. But nevertheless, he was incredibly apologetic because he said at this particular moment, on the eve of the draft, this is an incredibly bad look. He recognizes that, and that he wanted to take an opportunity to apologize to everybody out there for putting himself in this position and saying the foolishness that he said.
Yeah, so apparently we got to go and see what happened of it. A racially offensive tweet by Josh Allen appeared on social media, and this is something that I guess was from years ago, and you wonder, is that going to affect his stock? You know, it very well may, and we've seen this happen. Jeremy Tunsil, of course, having him in the first round of the draft, all these things tweeted out and pictured out with him smoking marijuana and with a bong and all those things. It moved him down, and now can Josh Allen be the same? We'll start finding that out tonight. That was Stephen A. Smith, and according to him, that Josh has acknowledged the tweets, and so they are true, and he just said I was young and dumb. Interesting. And other news in the National Football League, Greg Olsen, Carolina Panthers, who was at least considering a TV career, just gets a two-year extension at $17.11 million a year. So he gets that deal. And now we also got news coming out of San Francisco that the girlfriend of Reuben Foster is now claiming that her injuries was not from Reuben Foster, but from an alleged February incident that led to Foster's arrest on February 11th. And so John Lynch had said this week, if Foster did hit the girl, they were going to cut him. So now we'll see, that adds some more intrigue to this. It could be good for Reuben Foster. It could be good for the 49ers. Still, bad situation in San Francisco. Hey, you can listen to my show in the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. Coming up next, we'll go under further review. And naturally, what do you think we're going to talk about? The NFL draft, which starts tonight at 5. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On demand with the 710 Seattle Sports app. Under further review with John Clayton.
We'll review the play.
And so we go into further review now as the Seahawks, and of course we're going to get your questions and take your calls at the bottom of the hour here, and so we'll get to those. We want to get your thoughts in this draft, and so the debate's going to be, and of course you know going in, the Seahawks have a first-round pick at 18, which is a pretty good spot in this draft. Again, you know, you talk to different teams, and you know they'll tell you, and again, not like San Francisco where they say they have grades, 30 first-round grades, that's too generous, but most teams have as few as 15, maybe as many as 16 or 17 first-round grades. And so what ends up happening is that depending on how things go, and again, who knows where different teams that have quarterbacks will grade the four quarterbacks expected to go in the top seven or so, or top eight picks. We'll see. But Seattle very well could have a chance to get a top 15 pick on their board with the 18th pick, or trading down and picking up third-round picks and then putting in a position to maybe trade into the second round, or do you trade Earl Thomas? All those things are on the table, and they're going to be the drama as we go through the first round of the draft. But I know Brock and Salk were talking about that today, and Mike Salk has three things that he wants to see the Seahawks come out of this draft with.
Number one, I'd like to see them trade Earl and acquire a first-round pick and hopefully a third-rounder with it. Now, I don't know whether you're able to do that. I don't know what the market is. As of right now, it seems like the best they've been offered is a second-round pick. Okay? I would still do that, I think. But I would like to see them trade Earl. That'd be number one. Number two, I would like to see them use both of their first rounders at that point, 18 and whatever they get back from Earl, but trade back with one of them and stay in the first round.
Okay.
So let's say you could get the 19th pick or whatever. Dallas is at 19 or 17?
19.
So let's say you had 18 and 19. I trade 18 back to 22 or 24, come up with a third rounder in the process, and then pick at 18 and 26 or 22 or something like that. I would like to see them do that. Number three, I would like to see them get a leader. I would like to see them find that next personality that will galvanize this team and galvanize the city. And by the way, that doesn't have to be in the first round. It could be in the third or fourth. It could be a Shaquem Griffin. It could be a Quentin Meeks type guy. Somebody with the personality to lead this team and connect with the rest of the city to be the next Doug Baldwin, essentially. I would love to see that.
Okay, so let's go into that. First off, if there was a first-round pick that was offered, they would have already taken it. And so you can anticipate there's no first-round pick, and there's no way it was going to be a first and a third. I mean, that would be fair value for Earl Thomas, but you're not going to necessarily get fair value. That's just the reality of life in the National Football League, you know, because, I mean, there's been 26 trades, and you can see to get a first-round, second-round pick, very, very difficult. Yeah, maybe you can get a second-round pick, but that second-round pick may be more next year. And if you're Seattle, obviously you want something for this year. So now it comes down to, on Earl Thomas, I mean, are you satisfied with a second-round pick and something else? And I don't know. I just think as the day goes on and the there's less of a likelihood that this could happen. That's just, I think, the reality of. But again, I think Earl Thomas now is going to stay a Seahawk. Remember, I took it up to 50% as far as where it could go when Dez Bryant was released. But, you know, since then, you know, there's been talks, I'm sure, and there may be revised talks, but I think it's going to be doubtful that that's going to end up happening. So stay for that. Now, again, I agree with Mike that, you know, trading down would be, you know, something where they can pick up a couple third round picks, and, you know, getting a leader, that's certainly something that would be good, because, again, you have to fit what, you know, this team would really like as far as guys that fit in the locker room. And now, because what they're trying to do with this draft is start building another core group of guys. So that's going to be the things that are going to be on the agenda. And so as we sit there waiting for the 18th pick, is it going to be one where it's going to be a couple trade downs, a big trade down, or do they take 18? And again, we're going to get your thoughts on that too. I know also when you're thinking about this, Brock Hewitt is thinking that, you know, maybe the trade downs are nice, but maybe, just maybe, it may be more advisable to stay.
Bruce Irvin helped you win a Super Bowl. Bruce Irvin got paid huge money in Oakland. Russell Okung helped you win a Super Bowl. He was a stud. Earl Thomas is arguably one of the greatest players you've ever had. So some of your higher first-round picks, you know, have been incredibly productive. Your late 20s, your low 30s first-round picks, a little different conversation. Because as we said earlier, that grouping of players from 25 to 50, you know, typically there's not a huge variance. Yep. You know, there's a lot of different positions. And there's kind of lots of different shapes and sizes, and some of the things they can't do, you know, that list is a little bit longer than all the things that the top 15 picks can do. And if you're sitting there at 18 and you've got a top 10 or top 15 value because of this crazy quarterback,
then you need to trade Earl, because you cannot, if you're trying to make a turn like you are, not have a second and third round pick, right? Am I crazy?
So the idea is Brock would like them to stay at 18. But the interesting part about that, you know, talking about Bruce Irvin, and there's no doubt, I mean, he was a great choice, a guy that some people had as a third round grade, but he played like a first round pick, got $9 million a year to go to the Oakland Raiders, and was a solid pick. But he was also part of a trade down, because he traded down three spots and were able to get him, and they got a third round pick. And so that's why I still think that the likelihood is to trade down from 18. Now, this, what could be interesting is, if they have a good value on Harold Landry, the defensive end, that may be one that would keep them there, but then that'd cause them, because again, the difference is, sure, you know, trading down and trying to maintain and get, you know, somebody that might be ranked in your top 15 is a good thing. There's no question about it, because you get quality. But the difference is, in that year that they took Bruce Irvin, and in the years that they've made some moves, they've had second and third round picks. I mean, now there's no second and third round pick, and the scramble to try to get into a third round is going to be very difficult. That's why I think you can look for them to trade down. But again, a temptation has to be there. If the right player is there, then you do it. And then, of course, then you start rethinking. It's like, okay, if you get like Harold Landry and draft him at 18, then do you really push the idea of trading Earl Thomas? I don't think so. But again, anything is fair game. And that's what's so great, Mara, of watching this draft, because again, the high stakes poker of this is going to be phenomenal. I think it's going to be an interesting draft. I think it's going to be a fun draft, but also that drama starting at number one with the questions about what quarterback goes to Cleveland, still say it's Sam Darnold. And also now what happens, you know, from 15 to 20 with some of these possible trades or possible non-trades.
Yeah, that's why I think, even though we should probably anticipate the Seahawks maybe not making any picks today, I think there's still a lot to look forward to today. It's gonna be an exciting draft, and I think there's going to be some big surprises.
I still think they make a pick today, because I think what might end up happening is that they trade down two times. They pick up two-thirds, maybe, you know, a fourth or a fifth, maybe a seventh. I mean, again, you know, getting more volume in that, because, again, that gives them some more clout, because, you know, they're sitting there with four picks in the fourth round and two-thirds, if they do make two trade downs, you know, you can trade into maybe the lower part of the second round or maybe in that group, because now you have all those extra picks. And so moving this thing going, obviously it would be easier if you can get a second round pick for Earl Thomas. And again, I just think the thoughts of a first round pick, if that was on the table from somebody, they would have already taken it by then. And so obviously it's not on the table. I mean, Dallas, and again, I went through the whole league and there's only like about six, seven teams that were really that interested in or really looking for free safeties. I'm not saying that's the strongest position in the league. It's not. But for free safety, I mean, most teams seem to be content in what they have. And if that's going to be the case, well, there's no trade. So again, I think it's Dallas or bust. Maybe there's an outside shot. You can get Cleveland involved, maybe looking at that. But in the end, I think it's still going to be very tough. Hey, you can check out the show in the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. All right, so coming up, let's chime in here. We want your thoughts. What do you want to see how the Seahawks do? Stay at 18. If so, what do they take at 18? What don't you want them to do? Give us a call at 866-979-376 and 206-421-3776. Load up those phone lines, 866-979-3776, 206-421-3776. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The Professor, John Clayton.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Hey, it's time for you to chime in. What's your thoughts on what the Seahawks should do? What don't you want them to do? Let's chime in at 866-979-3776, 206-421-ESPN. Let's start off with Steve in Yakima. Hey, Steve.
Hey, John. I hope you're doing well.
Good. How are you?
I was hoping that the Seahawks actually will trade back into the second round and pick up a second and a third and then not trade Earl unless there's something that there's something out there that they're going to get better, either a lot of draft picks for him or to keep him to try and sign to a longer deal.
Yeah, and the hard part now is going to be getting that second round pick because, you know, even at 18, you know, unless it's a team that wants to trade up for a quarterback, you know, whether it's going to be Lamar Jackson or maybe Mason Rudolph or somebody like that, you know, they'd have to really make a big move. But that's that, the hard one's going to get the second. I think that you can trade back a couple times and pick up thirds and still be in the first round, and maybe you can pick up as many as three thirds to go in the second. But the hard part is, you know, getting that pure second round addition, and that's where, you know, it'd be nice to have a two and a three because then you fill the void. But I think more than likely what you're looking at is more the possibility of getting two threes, or if you make three trades, maybe three threes. And it could be just a third and a fourth. So that's where the difficult part is. Yeah, I think that you're right. I mean, if you can get that second round pick, bingo. But again, I don't know if you can necessarily get that second round pick.
Okay. What about trading back once to get past Dallas to see what that Dallas says with their guys?
Now repeat that again. Trading back to trading back where? Okay, so like the likelihood, Steve, is like, you know, you go like 18 to 24 and then 24 to maybe 29, then you're kind of popping in thirds. You know, the hard one is to try to get, because again, you're not going to have necessarily the teams toward the top of the round doing it, so you're probably going to get more teams in the middle. So getting that second round pick is going to be the difficult one. Steve, thank you for the phone call. 866-979-3776, 206-421-3776. Let's go to Scott in Olympia. Hey, Scott.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Hey. I'm great. Hey, Davenport or Landry, is there a chance that either one of those fall into us at 18? And if we get the opportunity, would you take one of those guys, and who would you take over the
other? I think it would be a strong consideration, and I would take either one. I mean, because, again, they're the two of the better pass rushers in a pass rush dry draft. And so, you know, a lot of people think that Green Bay would take either one of the two, too, because they need a pass rusher, and they might take Davenport. But there is a chance that, because you know that Landry is going to be a big target for the Detroit Lions, because, again, they want to get somebody on the other side of Ziggy Ansah. But I think that Harold Landry could be the one that could be real tempting for this team if he does fall to 18. Because, again, when you really look at, you know, where the needs are, and again, there's lots of needs. I mean, you still got to pick up cornerback, outside linebacker, maybe a tight end, maybe a wide receiver, maybe a cornerback. You know, all those things are in
Nothing
play.
Makes and when you don't secondary better, John, than a good pass rush.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I think it's got to be a consideration. Again, you know, you don't want to give away players that can really make your team that much better. And I think Landry's got to be a consideration that would maybe keep them at 18 and cause them to readjust. So, but I think there's a chance that one of them can fall down. So much of it's going to be on Green Bay and what they do, because if Green Bay passes on both those guys, then one of them is going to fall down. But I think that Davenport or...
Man, I sure hope so.
Yep, that could do it. Hey, good call, Scott. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Greg in Seattle. Hey, Greg.
Hey, John. Good morning. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Great, great. Hey, there's one thing I want to say that I think is more important, first off, than football, and that is our health. And I just want to say congratulations on Pat getting back home where he should be with you.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hey, so I think, first off, what happened? Didn't we draft in the first round and got that the guy who had the ATV accident?
Yeah, no, they got him in the second round. What they did is that they traded down from 26 to 35 on three trades, and they netted four draft choices. You know, draft choices that enabled them to get Tedrick Thompson, Delano Hill, Chris Carson, and Michael Tyson.
Yeah, not bad. But I really think we should maybe try to stick with the first round this year, and I would like to see either Chubb or Shaquille Griffin in there.
Now, obviously, you can't be talking about the defensive lineman Chubb because he's going to go in the top 4 to 6, so he's not going to be available. He's not an option.
Right.
If you're talking about maybe Chubb the running back, yeah, that could be one. But again, if you're talking the defensive lineman, I mean, you're not getting one of the top 6, 7 players in this draft sitting there at 18.
What do you think Shaquille will land at?
I think second or third round. And the reason I say that is that, and we did Gil Brandt for the podcast last week. Gil's the one who gives the invites out to players to try to come to the draft. And Griffin was one that he invited. Now, to do that, I mean, you don't want somebody sitting there for 3 days and not get drafted. So he anticipates that somebody's going to take him or somebody's told him they take him in the second or third round. I think it may be more the third round, but it's not out of the question for him to go in the second.
I think personally it'd be a great thing to have him here because you know the dual brother thing would just add a spark to the defense and mm-hmm. and you know, but personally I would like to see two pass rushers, a running back, and maybe an offensive lineman. You know, I think it's just all those things are so key to us right now.
And that's the problem, because if you stay at 18 or you don't trade Earl Thomas, I mean, you limit what you're able to get. I mean, yeah, you have eight picks, but, you know, nothing in the second and third round is a big void, and that's where, you know, you get a lot of talented players. Now, again, this team's been very successful in the fourth and fifth round getting guys, but, boy, you leave the draft now, to the rest of the league as opposed to doing that. That's why, again, the likelihood of a trade down, I think, is, you know, pretty good unless the right player is there.
Yeah, it's just a tough decision with Thomas because, you know, you can get a couple good draft picks for him, mm-hmm. or, you know, you keep a guy here that kind of wants to be here and wants a lot of money. So I think in the end, I think it's just better that we, you know, get a couple picks for him and hopefully get a few guys. Hey, thanks, John. I appreciate your call.
Okay, hey, thank you very much. 866-979-3776 and 206-421-3776. What do you want the Seahawks to do? Stay there, move down, trade Earl, what you want. Let's go to Ivan in Kennewick. Hey, Ivan.
Yes, I was wondering if they could defer the first-round pick till next year and pick up a second or third for Earl this year.
You say not make a pick in the first round? Now, you can't do that. I mean, you pretty much...
No, I mean, if you trade Earl and you defer the first-round pick till next year.
Oh, so in other words, you get a first-round pick next year?
And could you get a second or third and then a first-round for...
I mean, you might be able to get a first-rounder next year, but, you know, when you look... And the way it works on the trade values is that usually you subtract a round if you get something, or you gain a round if you get something. So, in other words, a first-round pick next year would be the equivalent of a second-round pick this year. And so, I mean, I guess the one thing that you can do if you get a first-round pick next year is that, you know, you can then try to trade it for a second-round pick next year or some kind of configuration.
Well, what I was thinking was, no, like, could you get a second or a third this year and get the first next year?
No, I don't think that he's going to be able to net that kind of ability to do that. No, I just don't think that could happen.
Oh, darn.
Because, again, I think what you're looking at is that even though it's not right, it's not fair, it's not equal value, probably the offers they're going to get are like twos and fours, you know, a two and a four for Earl Thomas, which may not be enough.
Okay, thank you.
All right, hey, thank you. 866-979-3776 and 206-421-3776. Kind of get your last shot here on what you think the Seahawks should do or don't do. And, of course, I think that, again, I think the likelihood is there's more chance of a trade down. But, again, if a player like Harold Landry's there, they might have to do it. If it's a running back, I think they would trade down because, again, this is a good running back draft. You know, again, you want to try to get as much value as you can, and John Snyder is so good at it. But, you know, you saw this week where John was talking about how they kind of shrunk their board and tried to, you know, do it a little bit of a different way. Thought that's kind of the interesting way that they were able to do that. But overall, your thoughts. And, again, thank you for the phone calls.
Professor, we still have some coming in if you want to take some calls in behind the lines as well.
Oh, let's do that. Yeah, continue with the phone calls. And so give us a call, your thoughts on what the Seahawks want to do, 866-979-3776, 206-421-3776. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On demand with the 710 Seattle Sports app.
At 10:45, we go right into the behind the lines. But I tell you what, we're going to go right to the phone lines because, again, a lot of people want to chime in on what they want to see the Seahawks do. 866-979-3776, 206-421-3776. Let's go to Patrick in Texas. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, John. I was wondering, what do you think the highest round will take a running back or tight end in?
Highest would probably be third if they can acquire some third round picks, because I don't necessarily, I mean, again, it's, you know, maybe possible if they trade down and Geis is there in the low 20s, maybe they would do something like that. But I think, you know, the highest, I guess, is a possible in the low ones, but I think more than likely it's going to be in the third.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Patrick, thank you. 866-979-3776 and 206-421-3776. Let's go to Sam in Puyallup. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Professor, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Dude, I'm excited for today. I have two things. One, I don't want to see Earl go, and that's another subject. I hope he signs with us and stays with his lifer. But Nick Chubb, he interests me more than Darius Geis does. I like their running style, that run could run behind, you know, our new line. What do you think about Nick Chubb falling to us?
You know, and either the Georgia backs, I think, are, you know, worth like low first, second round picks. I mean, they're both good. It's a matter of just, you know, seeing how they fit the style of this team. You know, Geis seems to be the one that, you know, fits maybe the best. But again, you're looking at one of the best running back drafts in at least more than a dozen years. And so with that in mind, I mean, you know, you can get quality. I mean, you saw third round picks last year that was successful. And I mean, this draft has guys that can go in the third round that can be successful. So, he would be a great acquisition. But again, for any of that to happen, you know, they've got to find a way to get, you know, something in the second or third round.
So what if they traded the first round down, get out of the first round and require like maybe a second and a third?
It's going to be tough. And the reason it's tough is that, you know, you have to have somebody desperate enough to be, you know, moving up from maybe like the 10th or 11th pick or 12th pick in the round that's willing to give that second to go all the way up. And that's going to be hard to do. That's why more than likely it's going to be, you know, a couple trade downs or three trade downs. And that's where you get more fours than you get threes, or you get more threes than you do twos.
Well, hey, we're a few hours away. I can't wait for it. Thanks, John.
Okay, thank you. 866-979-3776, 206-421-3776. Let's go to Andrew in Magnolia. Hey, Andrew.
Yeah, hi, John. I wondered, since I don't think Earl maybe wants to be with the Seahawks and all of that, if we packaged him with our number 18 pick in the first round and moved up, and maybe got a third round as well, could we get high enough to take Vita Vea and then maybe in the third round go for Shaquem Griffin?
No, you're giving up too much. I mean, because again, it's like if you're trading, I mean, they really have no ability to trade up. I mean, again, they've got defensive tackles. They've got four defensive tackles right now. I think, you know, where you look at Vita Vea, you know, he's either going to go 10 or 13 to put something together and give up. It's just going to be too much. I mean, you know, it's not just one player this team needs. It needs more than one player. It needs, you know, it's trying to establish a new reset on the roster. It needs to do it. But no, I just think that won't work.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Andrew, thank you. 866-979-3776, 206-421-3776. Let's go to Hunter in Puyallup. Hey, Hunter.
Hey, I think the Seahawks if we stay at 18, I say we draft Marcus Davenport, the pass rusher. I just think what we have with Frank Clark and Deion Jordan, I think we can just plug him in there. And it's likely that Cliff Averill isn't coming back for the Seahawks this year, so I think this is a definite need for us. And if he's there, if he's available for us at 18, I say we draft him.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think he's a temptation that is going to be hard to pass, particularly with the needs of this team. That's what, where I look at, you know, the big picture, and what I see is that, okay, they really do need to try to get a, you know, because again, what you're talking about is that you go Frank Clark being the third now to number one, and then Deion Jordan, who has had limited time on the field in the last couple of years, he's now number two. Now again, you got Barkevious Mingo there. I mean, you got Marcus Smith. I mean, they're there, but you know, if you can get that second quality pass rusher, that is going to be a hard thing to pass. You know, Landry or Davenport would fit that mode.
Yeah, I completely agree. And one last thing, I've been hearing about the Cardinals. They like Lamar Jackson. Do you think they'll draft Lamar in the first round?
I question it. It wouldn't surprise me that, let's say that you know, they move up into the low first round to do it. But I think if you take him at 15, that's going to be a little bit high. I know Bruce Arians is recommending they do it, but Bruce Arians is no longer the coach. I think Lamar Jackson at 15 is just a little bit too rich.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. 866-979-3776, 206 421-3776. Let's go to Carl. Carl, how are you?
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, so what I'd like to go to the other end of the rounds, I'd like to see him pick up something late for a fullback. I don't see how they can call themselves a running team when you don't have a fullback back mm-hmm. there. I want some nasty, mean guy that just likes to hit people like Cam Chancellor. And every time one of those safeties or corners thinks they're going to stick their nose in a gap, I want them pancaked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's now what they did do, if you like this, I mean, Ed Dixon, the tight end that they, you know, paid over $3 million a year, can fill a little bit of that tight end role. I mean, a little bit of that tight end slash fullback role, because again, you know, he is a run producer. I mean, that's one of the things that he does. And they do have Fowler, who they picked up from the from Tennessee. So they have one on the roster. But yeah, I mean, that may still be tough, because what you're talking about, you know, they only have 2 seventh-round picks, and you know, it would be more the seventh round than anything else. But a fullback is something I think they definitely need, because the emphasis is going to be there on running the football. They've got to have blockers. I mean, Dixon may be that guy, adding another one, you know, and they might be able to pull one out as an undrafted free agent. But question is going to be, can they afford to put a seventh-round pick on a fullback? Maybe. It's a possibility.
Yeah, maybe get somebody that's less talented and more angry.
Mm-hmm, yeah, because that's what they need. They need an angry type of running game. They got to get nasty at that stuff.
Thanks, John.
Hey, thank you. 866-979-3776, 206-421-3776. We're taking your thoughts on the draft, what they should do, what they shouldn't do. But is it Eli next?
Yes, John.
Okay, yeah, how's it going, John?
Yes, good, Eli. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So I heard Sox talking earlier about maybe moving down with multiple teams in the first round. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to get your opinion on how much could we get back in terms of moving down 5 spots or moving down 10 spots?
I mean, I think it's, you know, because what you're talking about, if it's going to be 5 spots, you're probably getting a third and maybe a seventh. And if you're talking 10 spots, maybe it's a third and a five, maybe a third and a six. I mean, that's where the hard part is, getting that second round pick. Because, again, you have to make a bold, big move to be able to get that second round pick in return. So I think what you're looking at is, you know, a third and change for each one of those moves. So in other words, if you make 3 of them, maybe you're getting, you know, because, you know, when you start to even get to that lower first, it starts to switch a little bit more to fourth round picks. But I think, you know, at the very least, if you make 2 trade downs, you're getting 2/3 and a few other draft choices, too.
Okay, cool. And I have one more question for you. Are there any other teams out there that have shown interest in Earl Thomas besides the Cowboys?
To our knowledge, no. I mean, I'm sure that they've called around. I'm sure they talked to teams. But when I started at the beginning of the offseason looking at teams looking for free safeties, the list had dwindled. Now, again, one of them would be Arizona, but you're not trading him to your division rival. That's not happening. You know, Houston would have been one of the teams, but they were able to get the Honey Badger, signing him for $7 million. And so I think it's going to be very, very difficult to be able to do that.
Okay. I know the Bengals showed interest in Eric Reed, so I just thought maybe they were a candidate.
Yeah, but see, when you're looking at guys this late, I mean, you're looking for bargains. Think about it. This is Cincinnati Bengals. Are they going to pay $13 million plus for a safety? The answer would be no. That's the Cincinnati Bengals.
Right.
Hey, thank you for the phone call. Do we have time to squeeze another one in? I guess we don't. So, of course, thank you for the phone calls. A lot of good thoughts coming up and, you know, airing out what you might want, what you might not want coming into this draft. And, of course, the draft begins at 5. And the NFL draft is tonight. Don't miss any of the 710's draft coverage by signing up for exclusive NFL draft text alerts. Just text DRAFT to 710-710 to receive updates from our draft lounge throughout all 3 days. In addition, you'll get a text after each Seahawk move to keep you up to date round by round. Text DRAFT to 710-710. And don't forget to tune in into the Draft Lounge at 710sports.com. All the draft coverage is brought to you by Heritage Distillage Batch number 12 Vodka. Okay, coming up next, we missed him on Tuesday. We get him on Thursday this week. It's Sean Salisbury with Four Downs.